We're going to have a word of prayer, then I'm going to introduce to you my brother, our brother in Christ, and he's going to share his testimony for a little bit this morning. But before we do that, let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this week that you have walked with us through. We do thank you, Father, for your grace and goodness in showering us with some blessings of rain. We pray, O Lord, that it would continue to rain throughout the day and you would continue to replenish the parched ground around us. We pray that you would pour out your Spirit upon us and replenish and refresh our souls. Perhaps we have become dry and parched in our very being. And so we would pray, O God, that you pour out your Spirit upon us and refresh us and renew us all over again. We continue to pray for those that have lost their loved ones these last few days and these weeks and ask that you would comfort them in a special way. We continue to pray for those that are battling cancers and other physical difficulties and ask that you would strengthen them and heal. And we just want to pray too, Father, for all those in the struggles of life, that you would guide and direct us to a closeness to you that is so real, we have a peace because we know that our faith is in you and we know that you will walk with us with all circumstances and through all difficulties. I do pray again, Father, for our nation. And I do pray, Heavenly Father, that our nation would see a turning to you. I do pray for our nation's leaders, government leaders, but church leaders and business leaders and dads. I pray, O God, infuse in us your Spirit and so that we are the people of God that you would have us to be, bringing glory to you. I pray that this is a great week of Vacation Bible School for people, perhaps little ones that have never been to a Vacation Bible School before. I pray that it's a great week and your Spirit would work in and through us today, but all through the week as we minister to children of our communities. Thank you, Lord, for how you transform lives. Thank you for how your grace is sufficient. And your grace is always available and willing to go a little farther than my sin or our sin took us. Thank you for the transforming power of your Spirit. I just pray, Father God, as we hear Doug and his testimony now, I pray that you would bless him and lead him by your Spirit and give us ears to hear what you say through your son, Doug. I pray it all in the name of Jesus. Amen. Forty-some years ago, I had been to college and came back in the summer of 1977, and Doug became my boss. We've known each other. We've prayed through some things. We've grown. We've learned from the Lord. And I count it a privilege to call him my friend and my brother. And he's going to share with you a little bit this morning of his story. God bless you, brother.
Thank you. Morning.
You can sit up here if you like.
And you notice that he changed this? This is much smaller than normal.
I don't have anything to hide behind up here now.
And if I get, you start seeing me sweat, you'll know it's just because I'm nervous. My story, I think, started when I was just a little kid. My folks made sure that I always went to Sunday school.
And I started that out at the United Methodist Church here in Motley. Went to Sunday school almost every Sunday up until I was, I don't know, I suppose a late teenager. And went through confirmation, so I was confirmed and became a member in that church. I know there's another member here today that we went through that same thing. My folks didn't attend church regularly. My dad almost never. He was a great supporter. Most of the time, if we attended actual church services, it was those special occasions, you know, Christmas, Easter, those kinds of things. So it became a part of my life. And then when I became, I think I was about 16, 17, right in there. And I'm not really good at remembering exact dates and times and everything, so forgive me on that. But that was a time when there were a lot of revivals going on in the country. And I remember one of them down at the Lincoln Evangelical Free Church. And going to that, and there were a lot of kids that I went to school with that went, and there was a call to Christ at that point. And I accepted then. I accepted Christ at that point. And it felt wonderful. Problem was that I guess I didn't follow through enough. It wasn't, should I say, there was a lot of other stuff going on. The world has a way of stepping in, and if we're not vigilant and diligent in staying and having that relationship with Christ, things can change real quick. And anyway, I was 20 years old. I met a gal. We got married. And for the first few years, we worked in the United Methodist Church here in Motley. I held a Sunday school group with the teenagers that were there. My wife and I, at that time, we worked with the youth group, and we had a lot of great times. I really enjoyed that. And then I don't remember exactly why, but we quit. And I was busy with work, and I let the world get in the way. And it's so easy to do that. And that marriage fell apart. We didn't work at it. We didn't work hard enough. We let other stuff get in the way. And so we ended up getting divorced. And one of the losses of that was my daughter. We didn't have a biological child. We'd adopted my daughter Heather at the age of 1 month. And she was very special to me and always has been. I never knew how I would feel in adopting, but I remember when I saw her, the first time I saw her, that was it. And her mom and I separated when she was 15. And we haven't had a civil actually, she hasn't talked to me since that time. And that was, she was 15, and she is 38 now. So it's been a long time. I haven't seen her since she graduated high school. And that's something that I pray about all the time, that fence will be mended, that we can have a relationship again. But that's something that's been very hard. And I guess if it's in God's will, that will happen at some point. Anyway, we got divorced, and when that happened, and when Heather didn't want to have anything to do with me anymore, I reached out to the pastor of the church, the United Methodist Church at that time, and I don't remember who it was even, but I remember reaching out to him and said, "Hey, this is the situation, and I'm just wondering if you could possibly talk to her and see if kind of be a counselor for us." And basically, I was turned down. He said, "I can't get involved. If she wants to, then I'll talk to her, but unless she comes to me." And I went to I tried to contact another pastor, a former pastor from the church, that had been good friends with, had went and done different things, had hunted with, and everything like that. And I called several times, left messages, would never return a phone call. I ran into another pastor, former pastor, and was basically told the same thing. It really turned me kind of sour. And I said, "That's the way it's going to be." I didn't turn from God, but I turned from that particular church and just from attending church, which basically I turned from God. I strayed. I stayed away from Him. And I ended up going into another marriage, which was very bad. She was into drugs. I didn't know that at the time. It was a bad situation. And we ended up getting divorced. And I believe through all of this, God has brought me to where I am now. A lot of times you look at those things and think, why are these things happening? But He's a lot smarter than we are. I know that. Anyway, even in that second marriage, I still wasn't looking for God. I wasn't seeking Him out. I wasn't having that relationship with Him. Wasn't I gave up on Him? There was all this other stuff. I mean, the world. Satan pounces around here, and he runs rampant, and he certainly was tempting me in lots of different things. And then I met Vicky. And, you know, nowadays it's like there's so much online presence. Well, I met Vicky online. And we would talk for hours and hours and hours. And we had, I mean, so many things in common. We liked so many things of the same types of things. And so we ended up getting married. So third time. Third time's a charm, right? Well, not so for me. But we got married, and things were good for a while. But then something that I've struggled with all my life, that's been there since I was a teenager, and that was pornography. And it's everywhere. And I thought, I don't have a problem. It's no big deal. Everybody does it. Well, that's not true, but statistics do claim that well over 70% of men view pornography regularly, and over 25% of women do. So it's there. It's here, it's there, it's everywhere. And that's something that I really struggled with. And along with that are the lies that go with it. And so Vicky, after I don't know, it was about 2 years, served me with divorce papers. And we were divorced for about 4 months, I think it was. And then we got remarried. We healed things up, or so I thought, or we thought. But we still continued with the same thing. The porn was there, the lies were there. Vicky had a few issues. We both had those things. And so that went along until about 2 years ago, April of 2019. And before April, it was, I don't know, somewhere maybe like February, she told me, she said, I'm planning on moving out the 1st of April. And naturally, I was, like, devastated. But I thought, okay, we can work this out. She moved out. She found a place. And we continued to talk. I mean, we talked every day on the phone. We saw each other at least every week. And I thought, this is going good. This is going to be where we'll be back together again. Well, then it was the end of June, somewhere around the 23rd, I don't know, somewhere in there. Can't give you a certain date. We were supposed to get together, and I called her because she was supposed to meet me, and she didn't, and she said, I think this is it. She said, this isn't going to work. We're done. I'm going to file for divorce. Well, I was like, no, that's not possible. Huh. So I went to meet her. I drove to where she was living, and we've talked, and I knew from when we were talking there that was it. She was set. This was it. It wasn't going to. There wasn't any change in her mind, and I just felt sick to my stomach. I came home, and I thought, you know, I've got to make a change. This is not going good, and I can't do this by myself. So I called Jim. We had a chat. And I told him, and well, even before I did, I reached out to God. I said, Jesus, I need you back here because I can't do this alone. And I prayed. When Jim and I visited, he recommended someone, because I asked him about also like maybe a counselor, and he thought that would be a good idea, recommended someone. I threw myself into different groups here at church. And that's one thing Vicky and I had attended here probably, I think, the first time was maybe like 5 or 6 years ago, something like that. And we came off and on, and I really felt that this was our church. We just felt good here. We felt comfortable. And it probably helped that I've known Jim and Sherry, like Jim said, forever. And I've known Sherry longer, since she was probably about this big. Both families, you know, I've known them for, it seems like, ever. So that probably had something to do with it. But at the same time, it just felt good here. Well, then we went through all this other stuff, and then I started, at that point, after talking to Jim, I started attending church here every Sunday. First time that I ever looked forward to coming to church. I used to go to church services, but it was always one of those, oh, man, do I have to? you know, I could sleep some more. I could go and do this. Do I really got to get up and go and do this? That's not the case anymore. I attended the first, I think, men's group here on Thursday night, which I love. We've got a great bunch of guys I really enjoy. We laugh, we have a lot of fun, and we learn a lot of things. And Vicki attends the women's group, and I know she really enjoys that also. I attended some others, have gone to some other Bible studies, and for one reason or another, they just haven't kind of panned out. Nobody's fault except mine. A lot of other things have kind of have come along that we've either had, it seems like we've had appointments or things like that, because Vicki has cancer, and with that, and most of you probably know that, but with attending doctors and different appointments like that, a lot of times it seems like they happen to be on, you know, let's say maybe a Tuesday morning or, you know, some other time that there's something going on. But they've all really been beneficial to me. I've needed that, and I knew that I needed that. I needed other Christian fellowship. And I also knew that I needed to seek out help for our marriage, even though our marriage looked pretty well doomed. Because Vicki did file for divorce. I got papers. She gave them to me. And I kept praying. I prayed every day. And part of that was I prayed for Vicki, not only for our marriage, that God would heal that some way, but also for Vicki, because I knew that she had her own demons, and I prayed that he would help her, even if it wasn't in the cards for us, that he would help her. And on, I can't say exactly, I think it was like the 18th of August. It was like at 11 o'clock at night, I got a text message from her. And she wanted to talk. And it was kind of like, this isn't working for me. What do I do? And I'm going, well, first thing, pray. Second thing, call this man over here. Because you like him. You've talked before. We both talked with Jim different times. I said, you know, there's other options, but, and I don't know, that went on for hour and a half, something like that, texting back and forth, which for conversations, I really hate texting. I actually like to talk to somebody, and usually I don't have a hard time talking to someone. So anyway, she said, I'll call Jim. I said, that's good. Well, that morning, I don't know, for whatever reason, I couldn't sleep. I was up at like 4 o'clock in the morning, taking a bath. And I was sitting in the bathtub, and I was praying. And I felt peace like I have never felt before in my life. And so anyway, I had a doctor's appointment a little bit later, at like, I don't know, 8:30, 9 o'clock. I went to that, and I'm leaving there, and I was going to, there was, like from the hospital, there was a garage sign at the end of the road, you know, garage sale sign up the road. So I started down that way, and I get a call from Vicki. And I know I'm not supposed to answer the phone, but I did. I told Ron Smith that, and he just laughed at me. Anyway, I pulled over, answered the phone, and she said, where are you at? And I said, well, I'm just leaving the doctor. And she said, I was thinking about maybe if we could talk. I said, okay. And I said, well, where are you at? She said, at the house. I said, okay. I said, well, I'll be there in about 5-10 minutes, whatever it takes to get there from the hospital. So we sat and we visited for a while, and, you know, I said, what do you want from me? She said, I want to move back. She said, and she has her own story, but God spoke to her and told her that she needed to come home and that we were supposed to be together. She had also gotten two letters from the court that one was supposed to be to me. It was addressed to me. It had the address at home, my name on it. But she got both of them. And basically they said, I don't remember exactly how it was worded, but something that it was going to be postponed. They weren't going to rule on it for, I don't remember how long it was. It was like quite a while, though. And she said, you know, it just like, that was so weird because that's not the way the court system works. You know, it's like both parties agree on a divorce, they sign off on it, and that's it, you know. This time, that wasn't the case. She moved back in, and we both knew that that was a miracle because, I mean, I knew there was no way that she was coming back. I shouldn't say that. The way it looked, there was no way that that divorce was not going to happen. It was a done deal the way it looked until that morning. God intervened. There's no other way to say it. And when you talk about miracles, you know, I used to think this. Well, look at all the miracles that happened in the Bible. Why don't we see them? We do. We're just too blind. There's one happening out there right now. And when the sun came up this morning, even though we couldn't see it, that was another miracle. And every time you look at the trees that blossom or a baby born, sorry about my emotion, but I've gotten a lot more emotional as I've gotten older in the last couple of years. They're all around us. Anyway, some other things that I have done and that have really helped me a lot, and that is I listen to Christian radio a lot. Vicki and I both listen to Christian music probably about 95% of the time now, where that certainly wasn't the case before. Not that that wasn't ever an influence, because there was a time in my life that I had some friends that went on to become missionaries, and they introduced me to Bob Dylan, some of his Christian stuff, his gospel music, and some things like that. But it wasn't the same. Now, like I said, if you go and look at the radio station that's on in our car or our vehicles, you know, it's some Christian station. It's either usually 104.3, or we do have Sirius Radio, and it's on usually on 63. And like Vicki said, it really lifts you up. It really makes you feel good. I know she says that a lot when she's feeling down. She turns the radio on and listens to that. I also went and 2 years ago in July went and got baptized. I thought, you know, how can I be a Christian and not be baptized? I need to be able to tell other people, show other people how I believe. Another thing that when I was doing 2 years ago, shortly after, I said, Jesus, I need your help. This verse came to me. I read it in a devotion or I heard it, I don't remember, but it really stuck with me. And it's kind of interesting because I see Jim's messages on Psalms this morning. Jess's, what she read was from Psalms, and two verses that I picked are both from Psalms this morning. The first one is Psalms 51:10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. I needed that, and I still do every day. And then last night I was looking at a devotional, and this one came out. Psalm 34:18. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit, which we all are. So I guess in conclusion, I just want to say he's always there. It's us that aren't sometimes. So that's it.
I'm going to have her stand up. Vicky on the spot, but she's already been put on the spot. She's up in front of you. So here, you face them. I'm going to say this because I think somebody else is here that needs to say that needs to hear this. When Doug and I were meeting, we were meeting on a weekly basis for a long time. And Vicky and I had met some. I knew they were living in separate places. And I said first to Doug, and then I said to Vicky, and this is what I think somebody needs to hear today. You tell me if I said this to you or if I'm making it up. I told you I care deeply about your marriage, but I care more about your walk with Jesus. And I meant that. And I believe somebody, as Doug was speaking this morning, the Lord impressed that upon me. And I believe there are people here today that are wrestling with themselves. That's what Doug was doing. He was wrestling with himself. And until we get self out of the way and surrender, we're never going to be in that place that God wants us to be. And so I said that to Doug on one occasion, I said that to Vicky on another occasion, and I said to both of them, I do care about your marriage, but I care about your walk with Jesus. And I don't know what you're wrestling with today, but I know there's people, somebody here wrestling with themselves, and they haven't got to the end of themselves. And I'm not blaming my brother or sister, but they needed to get to the end of themselves to find their way to the cross and to Christ. And when they got to the end of themselves and found their way crawling to the cross and to Christ, he met them. They could tell a lot more about the miracle, about how God was working in their individual lives to draw them to himself as individuals. And as individuals coming to the cross and coming to Christ, he brought them back together as man and wife. And so I don't know what you're struggling with today, friends, but somebody's struggling with some things. You need to surrender. You need to lay it at the cross. You need to get self out of the way. You need to get serious with Jesus. And when you do, these are the miracles that happen. Right here. When you get serious with Jesus, he will show up in ways that, well, as Doug said, it was a done deal. In man's eyes, in their eyes, their divorce was a done deal until they got serious with Jesus. I want to pray for him, Charles. Then we're going to sing. I'm not going to preach. You've already heard a sermon. I want to pray for them. Then we're going to sing. And I want to avail ourselves, Charles and I, Dale and Carla, to pray for whoever else is going through something this morning that needs prayer. While we're singing this song, we're going to be up here. We want to pray for you. And I'm going to say it once more before I pray for my brother and sister. Whoever you are, God knows and you know. I'm not blaming anybody. I'm just saying it's time. It's time to get serious with Jesus. It's time to come to the end of yourself, the end of your struggles, lay them at the cross, repent of all sin, and get serious with Jesus. He will make a difference. Will he not make a difference?
Amen.
He will make a difference. But you've got to come to the end of yourself and get serious with Jesus. I'm going to pray for them. We're going to stand. We're going to sing. And I'm going to be here, Charles, Dale, Carla. We're going to be here to pray for you if you want to come forward. You don't even have to tell us what you need prayer for. You can if you want, but we'll pray for you too. Let's pray. Father, thank you for Doug and Vicky and how you have loved them. Loved them as individuals. Shown yourself strong to them. And have walked with them through literally the valley of the shadow of death. Thank you for rescuing them, for redeeming them, for washing them in the blood of Jesus. When they come to the cross and got self out of the way, you were there with your arms wide open for Doug and Vicky. Thank you. Thank you for that. Walk with them, Father, as they walk through Vicky's cancer journey, as they walk through challenges in life. They are trusting you, Lord. I see it evident. I see the evidence of it every day. They are trusting in you. They are surrendered to you. They are living for you. Father, walk with them, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
And as we depart, let us pray. Loving Father and gracious God, we praise you and thank you for your victory and for the good and for the many ways you show us your love and your purpose for us. We pray, Father, that today that we will finally know for certain that the joy of liberty, of full surrender, far outweighs any suffering and pain of holding secretly within us those burdens and those human, sinful ways that detract from our relationship with you. Help us to come in confidence that you will accept us, forgive us, heal us, and show us a new and brighter way to your glory. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.